Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So if Joe Biden wins the US election, he can marry whichever bachelorette he wants, right? My name is Justin Hamilton, and I'd love you to be divorced from reality with me right here on Big Squid. My guest for today's show is the co-host of the world-class podcast, The Dollop and Point Versus Point. It's comedian Gareth Reynolds, who we're speaking to the day after the US election. So, of course, there will be thoughts about that. But more importantly, we have come up with a movie that screams hit for Adam Sandler. Great to catch up with Gareth, and I'm rapt he had time and the energy to appear on the podcast today. Before we launch properly into the podcast, remember to keep the 13th of December free, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for our live Big Squid FOMUS show, with guests including Rove McManus, Cal Wilson, Richard Feidler, Merrick Watts, Georgia Mooney, Alex J, and Ben Elwood. We're going to get together to help you enjoy Christmas in a different way. So let me put it this way. If you would rather celebrate Baby Yoda than Baby Jesus, this will be the show for you. You can see us live at Giant Dwarf in Surrey Hills, or you can stream us into your home anywhere in the world. Oh, look, we want to keep the streaming aspect of this show viable. It's a very expensive thing to do, and it's very expensive for Giant Dwarf to put on, so we're trying to keep the cost down for you. But if you'd like to encourage other people who you think might enjoy the show, please do so, because we'd like to keep doing this, we'd like to build on it, and we'd like to definitely be giving you different types of choices in entertainment coming into 2021. It's going to be a fun show. You can find details at our Big Squid Facebook page or over at the Giant Dwarf page, giantdwarf.com.au. But most importantly, put the date in the diary. We'd love to have your company for the show. And it's also going to be quite interactive. So especially if you're online, you'll be able to write questions in the chat that will then be passed on to the acts who will be on stage. Before we bring Gareth in, two things I wanted to share with you that I've been enjoying in recent times. First up, I watched the Mr. Bungle live stream on the weekend. If you haven't heard of Mr. Bungle before, they're a band fronted by Mike Patton. And it's a band that also cycles through all sorts of different musical genres, from heavy metal to disco to spaced out jazz. To give you an example, listen to the differences between some of these songs, right? So here is a track from their first album. This song is called Travolta. And have a close listen. It sounds like you're attending a carnival while uncertain if the space cake you took is giving you a great or hellish time. Then have a listen to this song, Chemical Marriage. It's off the second album, and it sounds like it's being played in a lounge bar in a David Lynch movie. Now have a listen to this song from their third album. This song is called Vanity Fair, and this sounds like the music you'd be listening to while waiting for Satan to call you into his office. See what I mean about the diversity in all three of those tracks? I love them and have seen them live a number of times, and each concert barely resembles what I've seen before. In particular, I love Mike Patton. I believe he's a true genius who allows his muse to take him where he wants to go, and he doesn't bow down to expectations. Does he sometimes make music I'm not quite as interested in? Absolutely. But those choices are true artistic choices, and I respect that even if the latest work isn't what I'm into. I'm always curious to listen, even if it's just to keep up with where he's at. The latest iteration of Mr. Bungle has, of course, defied expectations, and they got back together after a long time apart, like a couple of decades. The latest iteration of Mr. Bungle has defied expectations and re-recorded their 1986 thrash metal demo, The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny, alongside some hardcore cover songs from the era. They've brought in ex-drummer for Slayer Dave Lombardo and guitarist Scott Ian from Anthrax. This is a modern thrash classic, and with Patton, Trey Spruess and Trevor Dunn filling out the rest of the band, it is also somehow 100% Mr. Bungle. I'm fascinated by any musicians that can diversify their songs but still sound true to themselves as well and recognisable at the same time. That's just amazing to me. Now, I'm not necessarily a thrash metal fan, but I have dabbled in the past, and since it was Mr. Bungle, I was more than up for checking out what they had to produce. The two-hour show was a masterpiece. It was one of the best shows I've seen online, with the production values looking like I was watching a Blu-ray disc. It was part music concert, part documentary, and also a comedy show at the same time. They had Neil Hamburger opening the concert with his routine, and his commitment to his act makes him one of the all-time great comedians. I've seen him open for Mr. Bungle and Faith No More with crowds in equal parts laughing and booing him. But the great thing is, the people booing because he's making awful jokes, that makes the people who are enjoying him laugh even more. It makes the gig funnier. And I know he's an acquired taste. And I have to be honest, there's now and again, he's popped up and I thought, no, I'm not into this. But I just think he's pretty funny, and if you're on board with the act, you can laugh and wince at the jokes at the same time. They're designed to be enjoyed in that way. The band opened with the Mr. Rogers theme, Won't You Be My Neighbor, before leaping into the first full-on thrash song, Anarchy Up Your Anus. That's what I love about Mr. Bungle. They are virtuoso musicians and talent who are completely funny. And often, even when you're listening to a song, they're delivering two, three, four sets of emotions with each track. You can be horrified and be laughing and be weirded out and feel completely comfortable all at once. They're also super smart. And the way they've put this concert together was fantastic, because, like, as an example, with each song finishing, rather than just standing there awkwardly while we watch the band prepare for the next song, we'd cut to the reaction of a lone celebrity audience member. Like, literally, someone sitting by themselves clapping. And there were all these great cameos. I think the Henry Rollins cameo itself was worth the price of admission on its own. But other cameos included Josh Homme and Eric Andre. It was really funny stuff. The songs themselves were ferocious, and they even finished with a cover of the Van Halen song Loss of Control, which was just a great way to end the concert. And to think this was all filmed at the Eureka Main Library in California, which is just another fun fact to add to this amazing experience. Mr. Bungle might not be to your taste, and thrash metal is quite possibly definitely something you are not going to want to listen to in these challenging times. But I found the music and the concert not only one of my favourite experiences of the year, but I also found it to be quite cathartic. The main lesson I take from this, though, is that these guys are in their early 50s and they haven't lost their edge, their sense of humor, or their ability to challenge themselves artistically. And that is something I personally want to hold on to and lean into as I head towards the big 5-0. I don't want to be one of those comedians you see shilling the Melbourne Cup or forgetting what it's like to be anything but a caricature of your onstage persona. I got into this world to be creative, and I hope I can continue to make work that is true to me, just like the output of Mike Patton and his Mr. Bungle cohorts is true to them. I don't know if you'll be able to get a copy of it. It was streamed live and you were able to watch it for a little while, but if not, maybe check out the live album or just go to YouTube. There's some live concerts there that you will really enjoy. With that, let's just move from thrash metal to the written word. Since I'm enjoying reading these John Cheever short stories, I wanted to share another one with you. And that would make it a total of 3 so far. And I reckon once you get to 3 of something, it's turning it into a segment. So a couple of podcasts back, I asked you for a suggestion on what you think this segment should be called. And a few days later, I was on Twitter and UK author Sarah Bennett and I accidentally workshopped a name. So we now have a pun that has genuinely made me very happy in these stressful times. So not only do I have a title for it, I've made an opener. It's time to slip on the smoking jacket, sip on a martini and smoke a cigarette. It's time to overachieve. Sometimes you just have to entertain yourself. And I did. Anyway, the latest John Cheever short story I wanted to speak to you about is called The Cure, which on the surface is a story about a man attempting to cure himself from a marriage that is drenched in disaster. The narrator's wife has left him for the second time, taking their 3 children with her. He sets up a routine where he can ride out his recovering time throughout the summer and do his best to avoid the phone in case his wife calls for reconciliation. Unfortunately, as the day stretches into night and the narrator finds himself incapable of sleeping, he notices that he has a peeping Tom who is appearing at his window to have a look at him, to spy on him. Night after night, this person appears, and soon the narrator's life steps into a world that makes you wonder, what is actually happening here, and how much of this is true? I found myself reading the works of John Cheever after my last rewatch of the TV series Mad Men, and Cheever's work was often referred to as an inspiration for that TV series, so I was curious to see how that could play out. And this short story in particular feels very much like a blueprint for the emotional journey that Don Draper would go on at certain points in Mad Men. This is a story about a man who lives in 2 worlds, the suburbs and the city, but he also lives during the day and at night. And this is a man who lashes himself to a routine while constantly telling himself this is the only way forward. There's a dark foreshadowing for where he may find himself, but is there a possibility that he can find himself before he gets there and avoid this seemingly inescapable future that lingers on the edge of the horizon? This feels like an almost supernatural story, not necessarily dripping in horror, but the uneasiness of the supernatural. And it's one that is a particular feeling that haunts the suburbs, which you can get a feel for in this passage. That night, a big thunderstorm broke right in the middle of the movie, and it rained until morning. I guess the storm kept Tom at home, because I didn't see him or hear him. But he was back the next night. I heard him come at about 3 and leave about an hour later, but I didn't look up from my book. I reasoned that he was probably a harmless nuisance, and that if I only knew who he was, that if I only knew his name, his ability to irritate me would be lost, and I could peacefully resume the schedule of my cure. I went upstairs with the question of his identity still on my mind. I was pretty sure that he came from the neighbourhood. I wondered if any of my friends or neighbours had a cracked relative staying with them for the summer. I went over the names of everyone I knew, trying to associate with them some eccentric uncle or grandfather. I thought that if I could disengage the stranger from the night, from the dark, everything would be all right. Do you see what I mean about that hint of the otherworldly? This is another fascinating read, and I'd prefer not to really add any more thoughts to it in case you're keen to read it yourself. I'll check in down the road with more John Cheever short stories for you, but if you're looking for one to kick it off, this is probably only about 8 or 9 pages. It's not very long at all, and it's a great tale, and I'd be curious to know what you think happens at the end. And from here, I'll do some more John Cheever stories as I get to them in the Stories of John Cheever book. And look, I'll just keep doing this as a segment because I enjoy interpreting them for you and reading them and suggesting them. But I also have a little opener for the segment that I'd like to use more. I reckon that's a good enough reason, right? Okay, let's bring in comedian Gareth Reynolds, who I'm sure you all know as either the hilarious comedian, the co-host of The Dollop, or Jose's owner, Gary. Let's bring him in now. You might be excited to know that at this precise moment at 9:30 a.m. On a Thursday here in Australia, I have 7 people who have offered to marry you. And so you can move to Australia and get citizenship as quickly as possible. And
that's a pretty good number.
It's not bad. And like that's from 5 text messages. I've got 7 pledges.
Oh, wow. Oh, Jesus. Wow. So if we did a full campaign, we could potentially, and I know a lot about campaigning. I'm an American citizen, but I could, I like this. Australia's got more and more appealing through the coronavirus. It's sort of just like, now I'm sort of like, oh, got those sweet curves I miss over there, you know?
You know, it's crazy that I saw you in January. Like, we were hanging out in January, and how many years ago does that feel?
It feels like 4 years ago. No joke. I mean, it doesn't even feel real. I had to go through, some travel stuff to organize some stuff, and I was looking at that, and I was like, that was this year. That happened. It's ludicrous.
Sitting in that bar as your mate, just kind of chilled out to such an extent he poured beer all over the table.
He was not even sure what he was trying to do, but it was sort of like, it's like, remember how Gary Larson, the guy who did the Far Side comics, made the mugs that would say Imbeciles of America, and it was upside down, so that the intention was that you would turn your coffee mug upside down to read it properly?
Yeah.
It was almost like he was doing, he just started to pour beer on his face a little. And we were like, hey, buddy, hey, you might have eaten too much pot over there.
Well, that was a problem. Why are you eating it?
Yeah.
It's going to be a slow release. How are you going with the election stuff? Because I got up early to make sure that I was on top of everything and had some stuff that I could ask you. And every 15 minutes, I kept crossing stuff out because it's changing so rapidly. And how are you feeling at this point, having Trump declare he's won with Biden seemingly comfortably ahead?
It's interesting because it certainly is one of the two scenarios you kind of played out in your head, and you sort of knew that Trump would in some capacity dispute it or claim victory or, you know, some version of that. It's just interesting. It's always, that's the thing that's been happening in this country because it's been failing so much. You can predict a lot of it, but you just can't see the specifics. So it's very interesting to sort of see the specifics of this one, the way that he is now declaring that recounts need to stop after declaring that he'd won. As of now, it looks like Biden will win and Trump will. And we don't really know necessarily what that will look like, but you already have people outside of the Michigan, outside of where they're counting votes in Michigan and Detroit protesting. So, you know, I think we're definitely going to, if this sticks and we sort of follow the trajectory we're on, I think you'll see the kind of reaction that we kind of expected from Trump supporters, which is that they're going to be pissed. They're going to be pissed, and they're going to believe that something unlawful happened, if it did or if it didn't. And it doesn't appear like it. It appears that this election was just so bizarre, and they had to count mail-in ballots, because the rules of this country's elections are just bananas.
Oh, it's insane to try and get your head around it. Like, just as you start to kind of get a grip on something, another law comes in from the left, and you go, well, hang on, what's this? Like, why is this even here?
It's like when I watch Australian rules football, and I'm like, I get it. And then, like, something happens. I'm like, wait, what the hell's that? And someone's like, oh, he could do that. I'm like, I didn't know he could do that. You know, like, there's always some rule lurking, some shady rule lurking behind. Just like, hey, I'm weird. But the problem with our country is that we have 50 different states.
Yeah.
And there's not one law. There's not really just like a unified law, which has sounded really appealing for most of the time that America's been a thing. And then in the last like decade, it's been like, yeah, this is a bad idea.
That's a really good metaphor about AFL, though. But at least with AFL, like, having rules that are open to interpretation is fine for sport, but it shouldn't be for an election.
No. No, and it, well, and I mean, in this country, those are, I mean, that's essentially your judges. And that's, in our country now, I mean, it's just, there is really no reality in this country anymore. It's, we're all just kind of beholden to the spectacle of government that is, you know, it's just like a firework factory that caught on fire. It's just, you're never, it continues to alienate the citizens of this country more and more. And at some point, we're going to have to turn that anger towards the government instead of at each other. But we're still just caught in this phase where instead of saying, hey, we actually agree on like a lot of huge things, we are now at this point. And Trump can be a puppet master so simply. And anyone with character would not want to cause violence, but Trump doesn't mind. I mean, you know, we've had, you know, 250,000 people die of the coronavirus here. Like, that dying in this country doesn't mean what it did a year ago.
It makes no sense. Like, that to me was, well, that was the kicker for me, because I remember going into the last election, I just had an awful feeling about it, even though I watched Hillary as a performer do such a great job, and quite clearly, regardless of how you feel about her politically, technically the most logical,
a polished politician.
Yeah. But yeah. With this, it's like, well, if you have 250,000 deaths and you just do simple math and go, well, each one of those people probably knew 100 people, and, you know, the trickle out effect from that, and then even get really, really full on with it and say, well, let's even cut it in half by 50% that still don't believe Trump's done something bad. That's still a lot of people that you would feel would be voting against him. And it's still, from a distance, it looks like that hasn't been the case. It feels like Biden could win and you could still feel like shit because it feels like a moral defeat.
Yeah. People definitely were starting to say, the whole thing is that, you know, you want to rebuke all of the stuff that's, I mean, you really do. You want to just send a clear message that we recognize how damaging not only he is, but our government is. And this way that we operate is just, it doesn't make any sense. Our government represents the wrong people most of the time, and there's just crumbs that they split for the rest of the people. And, you know, to really have to, you know, to have to sit here and kind of watch it all fall apart in slow motion, but also so quickly, I just don't know how the damage is greatly done to this country, because, you know, we now have vocal wings of each party that are just in a cult. I think the people who support Trump are, you know, they support Trump for reasons that I understand. It's just the idea that he's the problem solver makes no sense to the narrative. You know, how you think a guy who was born with millions of dollars is going to bring back blue collar jobs, or, you know, really whatever it is, that it's just, it's theater. And, but yeah, the idea that it is this close is, I mean, you know, not surprising, but you're constantly, even like you're, that's the phase we're in, where we're prepared for the bad news. We see it coming. And then when it comes, you're still sort of shocked by it. And that's just the state we've been living in for years now. And I mean, who knows how this all plays out? It's definitely not going to be simple, but it's not over. People who think that because Trump goes, it doesn't end the problems in this country. The problems in this country are systemic, unfortunately. I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. The thing about the right-wing conservative throughout history, and this is on important subjects, and also realistically just things that aren't important, know how to take things that were initially important and turn them into something that works for them. So as an example, political correctness, when it first came along, was really important and it was really good and it really helped break down a lot of barriers. And then eventually it got co-opted and it got molded into this thing where now it's shorthand for someone who can't take a joke, you know. And that's what Trump's done with. He's taken the sentiment of that you have to fix the government and you have to weed out the corruption. And he's taken all of that and he's used it as part of his narrative. So everyone goes, yeah, that's great. And you're going, yeah, but it's him. He's the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Fake news was the one that I remember when I saw him calling things fake news that I went, oh, shit. That's going to be very advantageous, isn't it? And then you just see, Duarte and other dictators just like, what, killing people? That's fake news. What are you? You're just like, oh, God damn it. No, because there was actual fake news. So you really cannot. It is exactly what keeps happening, is that they find way, like healthcare. I mean, anything. They find ways to take legitimate problems, pretend they're solving them while they're lining their pockets. And it just keeps happening. I mean, it happens over and over again. And I think the problem in this country is that the left, the liberals, really refuse to look at the deficiencies in that party. And I could never really understand liking Donald Trump as a president in any way. I used to watch The Apprentice, and I used to really like that show. My mother and I used to watch it every fucking week. We used to watch The Apprentice. Like, so I understand being enamored with the guy in a position of power. I'll never empathize with agreeing with what he's doing now, but I also feel extremely alienated, not as much, but by the left in this country, by the Democratic Party, I feel extremely alienated from. And, you know, if they do eke this out, it should be nothing more than a warning shot again, that things are really, really bad and you need to make some fundamental changes. Otherwise, you're going to have a worse, more polished, less Twitter Trump, you know, soon.
It's one of the things that from a distance, one of the failures for the way the Democratic Party has dealt with Trump is that this inability to acknowledge that he has a sense of humor. And when people hear the word sense of humor or hear you calling someone funny, you automatically think, well, I don't find him funny. And it's like, no, that's not the point. The point is he has a sense of humor and he is funny to a certain amount of people. And therefore, sometimes when the rhetoric was going back against him, and I know it's a serious situation, they were playing into his hands because he could just make more jokes.
Oh, I mean, he got away with just nicknaming people for 2 years. I mean, that pretty much worked for 2 years until people are like, all right, wait, that's bullshit. But he would just, anything he calls someone, they'd be like, yeah, he does that. Yeah, he's kind of a groggy guy. He is always thirsty. You know, you'd just be like, what? So we really have, I mean, it has really condensed down what Americans respond to. And it is essentially reality TV. And, you know, I've been alive long enough to watch the birth of reality television into the not being able to believe your reality. And that is where we are now, where every day feels just like, it's just exhausting. I mean, but again, if Joe Biden does win, it does not solve a lot of enormous problems that will exist still. You know, the things that Trump run on, the reason why he got elected, because people are hurting in this country. The government does not give people money, you know, outside of a pandemic when it comes to jobs or hourly wages or healthcare, and they just don't take care of you. You know, most countries, when you pay taxes, it goes to something. Ours don't. So we just, every year, we just all give away money to the government for no reason. And I just, you know, at some point that cannot keep going. Otherwise, people are going to fucking lose it. And we're teetering.
Yeah. Is there a better choice for the Democrats going forward? If we're getting into a reality TV world, is there someone that you would think that they could co-opt into being the next Democratic leader who could do a better job?
Well, I think the truth is, I think that dramatic change is going to have to happen outside of the two-party system. So, you know, I think the Democrats could nominate The Rock next election, and that would probably be a pretty good choice. you know, it really would be, but that's just troubling beyond belief because, you know, our culture has gotten in this weird position where people used to be celebrated for talents or their minds. That's how you would get famous because you had a skill. You provided this thing. And, you know, whatever it was, you were an artist, you were an author, whatever it was. But that's how you put your stamp on the world. It was like kind of furthering like the stimulation of people's brains and, you know, whatever it was. But now it you're celebrated by how you appear. And so your appearance is what gives you a platform to get your voice out there. And that's just so backwards. That's why, you know, you should not be influenced by influencers, because what's gotten them there is not necessarily skill. Like, I mean, you know, there's people like Neil deGrasse Tyson who have a shitload of Instagram followers. And yes, there's post insightful things. But outside of those sort of niche people, we really are being led by a bunch of empty-headed, plastic surgeried people. And that's gotten us here. So, you know, Americans have no interest in paying teachers, and that's just very clear in how they educate themselves outside of it. There's no interest in learning. There's no interest in anything other than appearing to look good and have it going on. That's why it makes people so fucking miserable, you know? Because you're constantly comparing yourself to a life that's just not real.
In the influencer's defense, though, like, it's really hard to get yourself off looking at an Instagram photo of the periodic table.
It's true. It's true. But so I mean, and that's the problem. Like, what we need is we just need a human being intervention where someone's just like, hey, you people have completely lost the fucking plot. And yes, you need cocaine to do whatever, but it's time to quit the drug. Like, you need to put the phone down. We need to just, you know, we need to shoot the Kardashians into space. Whatever it is, we need to shut the internet down. Whatever the fuck it is, but we, you know, that's not going to happen.
Hey, you've been doing a remarkable job of being in lockdown and performing, and especially your improvised shows. And I'm curious, where are you at physically with all of this? Because it's like, because it's on a screen and you know what it's like as a performer, it often just looks like, oh yeah, I'm just standing there and I'm thinking of things. But that's exhausting stuff, like trying to come up with new things and new angles and not having that immediate energy coming back at you in a room. And I'm curious to know, are you fucking exhausted?
It's tiring. I'm very happy to be able to have enough people to make me want to do things who want to see, you know, that is motivating. Yes, it's super weird to be like just standing on a little X on your floor that you've taped, shouting into your computer for 90 minutes every week about things that you don't know what they're going to be. So, and yeah, you definitely feed off of a crowd. I mean, how many times have you done a show where, you know, you're yawning an hour before you go, you're tired, and you go out on stage and you don't think once about being tired. And when you're done, you're wired. And that's just purely, that's adrenaline based, and that's the crowd, and that's what you get. And that's a big part of why you get into performing. Yeah, to not have that now, it sucks. I mean, it's like, it's much harder. But I do think in a way, you know, this has made me try to think of new ways to do things. And it certainly has kept me sharp in ways. And I mean, it's also just very strange when you're done with a show to just close your laptop and just be alone. Like, okay, I think I'll have a pizza, you know, just very normally we have that drink at the bar before we're back at the hotel alone. You know, but this year just immediately like, well, okie dokie, just shouted it, nothing for an hour and a half. You know, the croissant.
That Cal Wilson was telling me about doing a corporate gig and, you know, doing a really good job. And then she stopped it, turned around, opened the door, and there's her son saying, I need a sandwich. She's like, yep, okay, well, I'm back to being a mum. That quickly, didn't even get the drive home.
No, I've always thought, I remember one time when I opened for Patton years ago, and it was like the craziest thing I'd ever done was like opening a theater for Patton Oswalt. And then a half hour after this crazy night, I was at the Best Western watching ESPN eating combos. And I was like, this is such a weird dichotomy of existence.
I had opened for Will at the Sydney Opera House, and like an hour later was on Oxford Street in Sydney eating onion rings by myself,
yeah,
thinking,
yeah,
I'm winning.
I know. I think that all the time when I'll like do, you know, in the real world when it exists, doing gigs and just, you know, you look like you're someone and then moments later you are just such a loser, you know, just so soon after the spike of adrenaline and the rush, you are just a person who's like, I think I'll just drink a Heineken in the room alone. That's cool.
On this scratchy quilt. I've loved the videos, and I don't know if you've realized, but the starts have become, they were starting to get into this real kind of David Lynch, Twin Peaks, The Return surrealness of when they would be starting. And that was almost part of my favorite.
My Gareth's thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you mean when I had music? Yeah. It's gone through it's really for under a year, there has been so much like morphing and growth and what I've learned from doing that. But yeah, it started out just so weird.
It's so
it's
good.
Still weird, but I mean, yeah, no, for a while I would just dance. Yeah, I mean, that's why, you know, it's something. I mean, again, like I'm lucky in the sense that I'm dying to perform, and you know, my life is totally affected by it, but I don't have to get out right now to go do shows, you know? And so, but I mean, you just miss it on the base level of, I mean, you get so spoiled. You know how it is. You complain about these things, and then when you really look at your life, you go, I just, what am I, why do I complain ever? You know, I remember when I was like working on Arrested Development, and I was touring through Australia, and I was like, ugh, I am just swamped. I'm over. And it's like, you know, you really have to condition your brain to recognize dire times when they're dire. Otherwise, you're just going to constantly spoil yourself by saying, ugh, life's so hard, and believe it. And this time has really shown me, and I think a lot of people, that what matters, you know, the things that matter are so simple. It's company, it's human interaction. I mean, that's what stand-up is in ways, or performing in any way. We're all there, you know, like the idea that the crowd is not imperative to the experience of stand-up comedy, you know, it all is intertwined, and just, you miss it. It's simple, but you miss it. The simplicity of these.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Think about doing a show on a shitty night at a club. I would go blow myself back in time to have that ability to do that again, you know?
Ah, that is the next Nolan film I want to see.
The Dark Knight Lowers.
It's so true, though, isn't it? I wonder if there is this shorthand for comedians where, because we often are working in small increments of time, as in performance, etc., there became this kind of weird shorthand where you had to kind of complain about how busy you were to somehow justify that you have a career in something that's not 8 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's certainly, you know what I always think about is how, like, if you're on the road and you're in a hotel the day of the show, how you really have nothing to do. But I will find ways to be like, oh, I just don't have enough time to do everything. And you have nothing to do. I mean, your job starts at 7. And you do it so short, like you're saying. You're just like, ugh, my job. It's like, you don't have a job. You just have, yeah, you like have play dates with audiences.
But also, sometimes you can do stuff and be so busy that when you get on stage, you're just not quite as optimally sharp, you know?
Oh, for sure. I definitely have had points where I've thought I'm doing too many things and it's costing the experience of some of them, you know? But I think the truth is when you start in this business, like, you're so starved to get somewhere that you just say yes to everything. Still say yes to everything. I'm like, yes, I'll do it. Yes. And then there are times when you go, why am I doing this? I don't need to do this. You know, I think probably once every year I fall into like shooting something for someone and I'm like, how did I agree to do that? My week, how did I give up a Saturday and a Sunday for this fucking nightmare where I have 80 shirts in my car? I'm just, this is, oh God, you know, how did this happen?
Yeah, I'm really bad at that as well. It's always like to the extent, like I literally had to make a decision to just not work on anyone else's shows anymore. Like, yeah. Especially, you know, in Australia, everyone's writing a stand-up show every year. And yeah. I always just tried to treat young comics the way I hoped, you know, or wished that I'd been treated when I was first starting out.
So left of them.
That's yeah, great. Like every one of them, and I'm exhausted. Yeah. Yeah. Look at me, I'm 22. It's killing me. But people would say, can you look at my script? And I'd say, yeah, no worries. And you read it, and then they'd send three more through, and then you'd be getting towards festival time, and you'd suddenly look at your schedule, and this isn't anyone's fault but mine, but it'd be like, hey, Monday morning I'm catching up with this comic to talk about his show, then I'm catching up with this one for lunch to talk about their third draft of their show, and then suddenly you're frazzled before the festival begins because you have to go and watch all of these shows to give notes because people have asked for your help. And it gets to a point where you have to say,
yeah.
I just need to say no, not because of anything other than keeping my own sanity.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're a nice guy, you know, I mean, that is what happens. And I think when you become, when you get older too, yeah, you do want to like help people that are younger and, you know, that is very important. But yeah, I mean, the fact that you guys write a new 1 hour, one person show a year is nuts. It's always been something that I'm like, that's just so crazy.
Oh, you know, in hindsight, I completely agree with you. And because it was indoctrinated that's what you do.
Yeah, you're just...
You just do it, but...
It's the prison you were born into.
But the fact is, I look back at routines that I came up with the idea, I workshopped it for 6 months, dropped it into a show, and then had a brief window of being able to just do club gigs. And then that routine was gone, And you know what it's like. The more you perform a routine, the funnier it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're looking back at something going, I reckon if I'd done that for 2 years, that would have been killer.
I there's, you know, there's stuff off of my album that I will, you know, when you're out just for a change up, you'll do.
Yeah.
And there are new jokes I've added to stuff since every, and I'm like, well, God damn it. There's just, there are like new moments in this joke that are just so much better than what's actually on the album.
Yeah.
You know, but you're pissed. I remember one time I gave a buddy of mine a tag. He had, I can't remember what it was exactly, but he was talking about he was in Grand Theft Auto and he was in his town for Grand Theft Auto, right where he lived in downtown LA. And he like found his apartment. And I was like, oh, you should say that you break the door down and find yourself playing Grand Theft Auto in your apartment. And he's like, dude, I recorded my album a month ago. What the fuck?
And somehow you're the bad guy.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no, it's really good, though. The version you did is really good. It's a really good version. Yeah.
Pulls out a baseball bat, starts beating you, gets into a car, drives off.
You invent a time machine. Yeah, but no, it's true. I mean, that's what you guys do. I mean, you think of Will, like, I mean, I'm constantly just astounded at the amount that he has. I mean, it's just, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. Here, if you do a new hour, you know, every 18 months or 2 years, I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah.
The GOATs do one a year. But you know, it's, I think you need that time to develop the shit and really find it. It just takes time.
Yeah. I also think there's just been some routines in the past that if I'd had an extra 2 weeks to think about it rather than a deadline, I would have gone, you know what? I actually don't think this works.
Yeah.
Or I think, you know, when you've written a routine and it's working fine, but you kind of, after a while, go, I don't really think this represents me. I think this is just a jumble of funny ideas that I've put into a good shape. But it's not really me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you have those. I think that is one of the things that's, you know, it's like you just also have to do dumb shit. There's certain stuff where, like, you know, like my manager will go like, yeah, but that's not. And I go, I know it's dumb, but sometimes dumb is just fun.
Yeah. It's sometimes just it dumb. Just needs to be stupid and
just
funny.
Short and stupid. Yeah.
Yeah.
And dumb. I mean, that's one of my favorite things is when a comedian laughs at something they said and go, it's so dumb. It's just like, it's dumb. We just, you know, this country loves the dumb.
Well, if you're not careful, you could end up in a position of power. So
imagine.
So what have you been doing to consuming to kind of keep sane? It's all heroin?
Finish your question. Sorry.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
You look remarkably good for someone who's taken up a smack habit.
Well, listen, that's a beauty of smack. People go, what's your secret? And you go, carbs. And then it's junk. Been junk the whole time.
Yeah. And shooting up carbs.
Yeah. That's the thing. Woo!
One arm for the carbs, one arm for the junk. So on the weekend, I watched the one of the most cathartic things I've done since the whole COVID experience, which was the live streaming Mr. Bungle show where they're just doing their first album.
It was only ever that demo. Album is amazing.
Yeah. Oh no, not the album with Travolta, the home demo, which is just a thrash metal thing which you could only find on cassettes and stuff like that.
Oh wow.
And I did a little review earlier for this podcast and it was really funny. Like really funny. Neil Hamburger opened.
Oh God. Yeah, I think he is so funny.
And Neil Hamburger opening, like, it's the first time I've ever seen him perform without him being yelled at, and it was even funnier.
I mean, that guy irritates people on a level that it's just amazing to watch.
Yeah. So I've seen him opening for Faith No More, and, you know, half the crowd
really?
Is...
So he and Mike Patton must be fans or something.
Yeah.
Or friends, I mean.
And watching half the audience boo him and yelling at him to get off, and that just fueling the other half of the audience that's getting it.
Have you ever opened for a musician?
Yes, actually. When I started off in the comedy duo, the Bunsa Boys, back in the 90s, we opened for Adelaide Legacy punk rock clown band, the Clowns of Decadence, and used to tour with them. And
quite an answer.
Yes. And when I look back on it, I often think, how the fuck did you do that? Because I have heaps more skills than that duo, and I would not do that. But back then, we did. Saying yes to whatever gigs come your way.
Yeah. I toured with a musician for a few weeks once, and he very much had an audience that was probably not in line with the people who would find me funny. And it was very, very interesting working the open for the musician act versus the like what I would normally do, you know, where you're like, okay.
How long do you have to do?
How long? 15, like right around 15. Yeah.
Yeah. That's heaps.
But you know, just, it's a very tough situation. It's good because it makes you better at figuring out, you know, cracking the puzzle, which is the goal really. But I certainly had many times where I could literally like hear someone be like, when does Eric come on? I'd be like, miss, it's not a bad sign that I can hear you whisper complaining to your husband during half when I feel in my head what I would call the momentum is building.
That's so polite too. That's the worst thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You just, you know, those shows where you hit a punchline and you can just hear someone's cup hit the table and you're like, well, that's not good. I shouldn't be able to hear a cup.
Not even in anger. Just
no. Some trying to be cool. There's a coaster beneath.
Yeah. Yeah.
The pillow for the bass. And I heard it clearly.
Oh man. But watching Mr. Bungle was really cathartic because it was just because I've got members of Anthrax in the band and it's just them going really hard and just sitting there having it straight into my eyes and into my ears. And at the end of this 2-hour concert, I was like, oh, I feel really good. And it was straight to bed for Nine Eyes. And has there been anything that you've been consuming that's been your go-to to keep sane?
There's a number of things. I mean, I'm not good at watching scripted shows. There's shows that people will be like, this is the best show. And I'll watch two episodes and I'll go, you know what? I really think it is pretty good. It's just not for me. You know, like Breaking Bad was the last show where I was like, yes, this is legit. As far as like people telling you to watch something. But I have watched What We Do in the Shadows as far as a scripted show. And that show is just so funny. And so the cast is so fucking good. That has broken my... Yeah, that's made me be like, oh, there's some scripted stuff I still do enjoy.
That show is phenomenal. And I reckon it's all in the... I think there's some really small choices that they make that really...
Yeah.
Makes it different, like the fact that the the Nadja and Laszlo really love each other, and it's such a small thing, but they're really into each other, and they're always backing one another, and that's just a nice gentle dynamic that is just fresh and brings different types of comedy to the fore.
I also really like the way that the guy Colin is an energy vampire. And he just sucks people's energy instead of blood. And he's just like a regular human, but is just an energy drain. That to me, when I saw that, I was like, that's a very funny thing to put in your first episode, but will that be funny forever? And you're just like, holy shit, they found a way to make it just continually funny.
Like, he is funny all the way through the first season. And then when you get to that second season and the episode that essentially centers around him.
He's having that battle. I mean, it's very funny,
but also
it's getting goofier too, but it's like working very well.
Well, there's also it's funny because it's such a funny concept, and it's such a, as you said, I had the same reaction, which is, how are you going to keep this going? Like, how are you going to keep this kind of joke going? And the fact that it's also a bit tragic because he is kind of desperate for company, but he's an energy vampire. Yeah. So even when he's trying to do the right thing, he's feeding on them.
Yeah, and he annoys the other vampires. So that show, and then I watch a lot of like garbage reality TV.
Right.
There's a show that I started. I worked with this girl, and she just casually mentioned this show called Life After Lockup, and I was like, "What?" And she just explained it. It's basically a prisoner meets someone on the outside, and they start filming when they get together. Right on the outside, and that has set me off in this whole world of after lockup shows, where I now just watch these people one person on the outside meets someone in prison, and then they film their lives trying to get to know each other. And it's just pretty train wreckery. And I am in. I can't help myself. I'm probably not a good person for how much I'm like, this really completes me.
Although I have to be honest, when you first said it, I was like, oh, so after the pandemic, two people go out. No, it's literally people in prison meeting someone.
It shows you how hard it is to meet somebody, because the concessions that people will make, it's crazy. Like, these are normal people, men and women, all colors, all, you know, gay, straight. They have decided that because it's so hard to actually meet someone good, that a situation is where someone is fully contained is perfect for you. And then when they come out, you're going to shepherd them into the real world. And it's just, it's nuts. It's just nuts.
So this is where the sequel to Shawshank can go.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman. Yeah. Double dating.
Yeah. I told Andy to pass this out. Unfortunately, he spilled it and didn't throw any over his shoulder. So that show.
Hang on, I need to ask one more question. With that show, what's the common issue with couples when they finally get to hang out?
Interesting. You'll find that a lot of these people who have criminal pasts are prone to gravitate towards their criminal past, or are just not ready for a relationship because they've been locked up for 5 years, and now that they're out, they're like, I want to go see my friends and do stuff. And the other person's like, well, we're getting married. Like, that's the concept. The other person, they're always like, we're getting married as soon as you get out. So, and it's like family members are like, Diane, what are you doing? She's like, you don't know him like I do, okay? Everybody relax. It's like, Diane, what is your problem? I mean, and it's just alarming decision making. And we get to watch the fruits of it. It's tough. It's tough.
It's really telling me that I'm really not working hard enough to meet someone.
You're a catch. This is what I need you to learn. You are a catch. And by the way, there's seven girls here who will marry you if you want to move to the greatest country on earth right now.
Really? That's great.
Yeah. 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 Life after Hamo.
I'd be so scared that I'd watch that and each one of them had really kicked on. I was like, oh, damn, I was the one holding them back. This is bullshit.
Jesus Christ. They invented the iPhone. It does. It makes me think that, too. I'm like, how is it so goddamn hard to meet people? And these, yeah, I think I might just go to jail to meet somebody, just on the outside. I think that might be the move.
Well, that sounds like an Adam Sandler movie waiting to happen. He's desperate That's to right. meet someone, so he commits a crime, so he can finally get onto some weird jail dating
app. Site that won't have him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Till life do us part.
Till life do us part. Absolutely. All right. Where do we sign? I'm ready to make it.
I'm ready. I'll send you a DocuSign. We just do it on our phones.
He'll make it too.
I think we already started production.
Jennifer Aniston without makeup. I can smell an Oscar, especially for 2021.
Yes, when they're back, when they exist again.
when
things are filmed.
When the seven movies that have been released, like New Mutants, will be up for Best Picture through default.
It's going to be a great year to be at the Oscars. This is a great year to have. You're like, holy shit, we're in contention. Yeah.
Imagine, you know, when the Oscars expanded how many you could have in the Best Picture category. Imagine this year you don't make it.
This year they don't have enough. They have to do five again. Unfortunately, this year we have to go to five because six films were made. God damn it! How did I not get in? Till Life Do Us Part is a good movie.
It's a really good film.
It's a great film. It's not the best film, but it was released, which says a lot about it.
Jennifer Aniston isn't wearing makeup. This is
Come on.
An Oscar-worthy movie.
Get on board, people.
And I won't keep you for too much longer because I'm guessing that you're pretty exhausted. Have you spoken to Dave? Is he all right?
Oh, Dave and I spoke for 4 hours last night while we did a live stream.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What I meant was since the live stream.
We talked a little bit after the live stream, and then we've just been texting today. But, you know, he really is like, he just knows his shit. Like, I'm very lucky to have constant contact with someone who really knows their shit on this level, because I knew the reality last night, but he was like tethering me to earth of like, no, the whole thing is they're going to have to count. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he's... He was fired up last night, and I think, like myself, feels the temporary relief of right now, but is hoping that, you know, this is not. But Joe Biden is not going to solve the problem with this country, and we just do not have a lot of time to actually fix a lot of things. So I think, don't worry, Dave's Twitter won't slow down. If anything, I'd say he's been slow. I think he and I have both probably tried to pull back a little bit. I mean, I only speak for myself, but just pull back a little bit on the negativity towards the Democratic Party for a minute, just because it felt like, you know, there is this threat with Trump where it's like, you know, that if you're gay or transgender, it does have Trump is worse in that way, and that's enough to say, get the fuck out. Let's at least stabilize that situation. But we have many, many other holes in the dam, you know. But
I recorded a podcast with Will Anderson last night for FOFOP that's coming out probably in the next couple of days. And the first 15 minutes were the two of us just being furious about Dave being right about shit yet again and how upset we were. And I was saying to him, the last time we all hung out together was here at my place, and on the same night, and this will show you what a rollicking party we were having, he explained to me why Barack Obama was a terrible president and why the NBA is terrible because it's rigged. And it was too much for me because I loved both, and I had to make a choice on which one I would take on board, and I gave up Obama because I love the NBA.
Yeah.
I gave up Obama.
That's the better one. And he's done the same to me.
Yeah, and so I was saying to Will, I would love to speak to Dave more often, but I would be scared that just, you know, in just a natural catch-up, I would say something flippant. Like, he'd be like, oh, what have you been up to? I said, oh, I went and saw Christopher Nolan's new movie, Tenet. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, well, you know that movie and all of his movies support Jeffrey Epstein. And be like,
oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah, he blows the whistle on a lot of things where you're like, hey, can I just have a burrito? He's like, fine, but you understand there's a consequence. You're like, just shut the fuck up for a minute. That like, I like the NFL. I mean, he is constantly – the NFL is already ruined for me. I don't need Dave's influence to ruin it. But it is annoying to have the person next who's like, hey, remember how you're ignoring all the problems of the thing you're watching? And you're like, stop doing – just let me – I have nothing. I'm a simple man. I'm just trying to meet someone on the outside soon.
So I can finish the script. I've got to have an ending.
Yeah. Damn it. But yeah, no, I mean, it's – I think, again, I mean, when you think about like our podcast, like, he just knows what's interesting. He just knows his shit. So he just knows, he knows these things. I mean, he just does. There's certain people like that. Like, my brother's a general contractor. He has an intuition on how to do things that I'm like, most people can't, their brains just don't work like this. Dave is a savant in a way where he just kind of understands where things are going in a way that most people just don't. And yeah, I mean, it's he even with this, I mean, I was saying to him for the past few weeks, I mean, we both kind of changed, I think, how we saw this election a little bit, but I was like, you know, Trump will win. He will, it'll be close, or he'll do what he's doing now. But again, seeing it, it's like Dave was like, there's not much he can really do. And there really isn't. He can do what he's doing and it's going to suck, but it might not get as bad as people think. And he certainly was calling it last night when everybody on Twitter was losing their shit. He was just like, what are people talking about? Which is steadying and necessary, because you can get – my dad had the greatest election policy. He was like, will you promise to not tell me anything until something is fully known? I'm going to tune out completely. And now that I'm on the other end of yesterday, I'm like, wow, what a great – he would have lost his mind.
Yeah.
You know? And And instead, it's like, yeah, you're going to hear some news that he will view as very positive.
It was funny, the existential crisis on social media, when you're literally just trying to find outlets to kind of follow it. And it was like, well, we're 2 minutes into this election and everything is fucked. And it's like, no, this is 2 minutes in. Like, let's not freak out just yet.
Well, we also got so, so many people were so shocked by the last election. And so now everyone is just very quick to, Trump isn't playing chess. He's playing checkers. It's just frustrating to get beaten by it all the time. It feels like chess. And so a lot of times you really look at the things he's saying or doing and you think, oh, this is really bad. And he just doesn't have a plan. It's like how he threatens a lawsuit against everybody, you know, in your head you go, oh shit, I'm going to get sued. And then you're like, wait, what the fuck? He can't sue me. What is he talking about? You know, I don't know, man. He's one of a kind. He's done that to multiple friends of mine. We've been out, we've done shows in cities where I'll have buddies and we'll go to a bar after and I'll just see him talking to a guy and someone will just be like, hey man, did you know you're not supposed to drink that beer? Whatever it is. Just like little thing where Dave has just been like, I mean, I've seen him ruin Obama for a number of people. So simply.
So simply. It was halfway through before I realized it was happening. It was like the sharpest knife. It's like, holy shit.
He's like the David Blaine of politics. It's just the next thing you know, he's got a sword through his arm. And you're like, what the fuck? I was just walking.
Look, I do appreciate being informed. I will admit that.
Oh, it's better. It's better. It's tough. Yeah. It's tough. I think that all the time with the climate stuff, it's like it's a constant pain to walk around and just any joy that I feel I can damper so simply. But, hopefully there's enough awareness that'll come from that people will actually, when it's time, be ready to make some fucking changes. Again, that's the reason why this election is a bit of a false victory in a lot of ways, because it is good to get rid of Trump, but we're up against problems that are not human, that there's not going to be a party to run against Mother Nature. So you just, Dave and I, when we're on the road, I mean, we'll just depress each other. He's pretty good about not, he'll depress me though. And I'll be like, oh, God.
You know, as an example, I rediscovered Jeff Buckley's album, Grace, purely by chance. I thought, oh, I haven't listened to that in ages. Re-listened to it, loved it. Guess what I'm never bringing up in a conversation with Dave? Jeff Buckley. I need that album to just stay where it is in my heart and my soul.
Yep. That's pick your spots. There's certain things I'm like, I can't tell him I'm going there. He can't know about that.
Imagine getting, bringing in your, you get out of jail, you bring over your new wife.
Oh, God. 75% of these arrangements end in divorce. Dave, Suzanne and I are just trying to... have a picnic.
Been free for 20 minutes.
I've been 20 minutes on the outside. You're telling me my relationship's doomed. And you're breaking your parole. God damn it. I would have loved to.
I just wanted to see you.
Yeah. Well, he'll tell me stuff about his kid ass sometimes. And I'm like, man, this kid is going to be a fucking freedom fighter. I mean, this kid's growing up with good Lord. I can't imagine. It's going to be 20 and be like on the cover of Time.
Yeah, I was about to say, I could imagine Dave's little fella at school explaining to all the teachers where they're going wrong. This isn't how history should be taught. That doesn't make sense in English.
No, see, he'll go, Finn walked in the other day and he just goes, so everybody's lying to us, huh? Dave goes, yep. I'll text him stuff like that sometimes where I'll be like, wait, so this whole thing was just a smokescreen to make blah, 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 blah. Yep. That's all I'll get back. God, he's so calm about it.
That's it, isn't it?
I'm so pissed. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So entertaining, though.
Yes, he is.
All at the same time. Hey, yeah. I should let you go. I'm guessing everyone who listens to my podcast is already across everything that you do, but where can people check out your live shows? And
So I do those now on YouTube. That's youtube.com/GarethReynoldsTV. Is where you can find those. Actually, if you want to watch the live stream we did of live election coverage, that's still up there. But there's a ton of videos and stuff like that there. And then it's social media at Reynolds Gareth. And then I have two podcasts. One's called Point Versus Point, which is a weird sketch debate show. And the other is the one I do with David, which is called The Dollop.
And how's Jose going?
He's good, man. He's passed out in his hammock right now. He's good. He's chill. I was thinking about this morning, like, it must just be nice to have, like, a bodyguard to the real world. To just, because he slept the same on the pillow next to me that he did the night before, that he will tonight, that he will in a week. Really low stress. I wonder what stresses a cat. It's got to be like, where's that almond? I was playing with an almond. Where did it go? I've never been so goddamn stressed in all my life, in all my lives.
Definitely Jose, though, like, because he's looked after. Like, there's not, that would be the stress level. Probably gets, does he get furious when you're talking to the computer doing shows and that's time taken away from him?
Well, he gets furious when I try to present him on the shows, which has become a feature where I'll sort of at the end hold him up, and it's just, people think he hates me because I pick him up and then, like, hold him in front of a hot light. He's like, get the fuck out of here. But he's very nice outside that. But, yeah, I mean, I guess the truth is he's like a 1% cat, though, because I, not only do I give him things, everyone gives him things. People send him things. And so there's the strays on the streets who are like, what the f-? If they had stray cats listen to this podcast, they would think I'm very insensitive. What are your stray cat numbers?
They're remarkably high.
Fuck.
I should have mentioned this earlier.
Can you cut this part out? I don't want to...
We'll cut this out.
Thank you. That's why you're the best.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to get them upset. And it was, I guess, in hindsight, insensitive of us to be talking about the have-cats.
And the have-nots.
And the have-nots.
And I mean, by have-nots, I'm spelling that K-N-O-T-S.
O-T-S, yes.
Yeah, they need a brushing. Yeah, there's knots around their neck.
Gareth, always good to see you.
A pleasure as always, man. Truly, I it's so crazy to think that we were hanging out under a year ago, and I do think how great those you know, it's really so simple to just miss all that shit now, but I really do think about how seeing people doing, having fun with other comedians, I miss it. And we had so many good hangs when I was there. So.
Oh yeah, it was a lot of laughter. It was a lot of going home and sleeping solidly. I saw a friend who came to the Comedy Store and hung out with us afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how photos just rifle up through your Facebook memories, and there was a photo of you and Alex J together that was. A, hilarious, and B, for a moment, I didn't recognize either of you. And that that is testament to the fun we were having.
Yeah. I just remember, like, 2 to 3 beers got spilled that evening.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, hey, we're grown-ups.
Kinda. Just the right
side. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just exactly, yeah. Well, yes, my point being, I look forward to those times again.
Yeah, me too. All right. Thanks,
so don't
mate.
You guys go getting a case of America when it comes to COVID.
We're, you know, we have done really well living on an island.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad we all made this choice back when we were being born and we had all these options and we were
and
like...
the English said, they said, what would a pandemic-proof nation look like?
Right there.
We'll ship the best of the best.
Suddenly, 24 hours to London is great. I wish it was 36 hours just to make it a little bit further away.
Yeah. A little more distant. I mean, you have a lot. The ocean's your moat. It's pretty helpful.
Can I give you one thing to look out for when restrictions properly lift? You be careful of not getting depressed at the people who just want things to go back to normal. It's like, hang on. Haven't you all been doing yoga with Adrienne like me and centering yourself and becoming a better person? Why do you want to go back to being that asshole?
I know. That's. Isn't that the human predicament?
Yeah.
Condensed down.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll appreciate it so much. Where the fuck are the pretzels? I want my fucking pretzels. Like, we'll be back in there so fast.
The cinema experience is great, though. If America follows what we've done, no one's allowed to sit in front of you, to the side of you, or behind you, and the cinemas are actually clean.
I'll tell you what. It sounds like someone who likes to masturbate at the movies' dream.
Mate, it is... Pee Wee
Herman. I'm talking about you specifically.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to. I've paid good money for a ticket. I don't want to miss out on something that happens on the screen while I'm concentrating on not getting anything in my popcorn.
So, I thought you said no butter. I did. Where's that guy going? Why wouldn't he want to watch the end? Because I made one. What did he say? I think he said because he made one. What the hell's he talking about?
That is... exactly the same conversation that happened at all six viewings of Tenet.
Congrats.
I am single. All right. I will I will chat to you soon.
Thank you, Hammo.
A big thank you to Gareth Reynolds for coming along and hanging out with us on the podcast. Hopefully we can catch up with him again sometime soon. If you're enjoying this podcast, please give us a great review on Apple Podcasts and invite some new listeners our way as we slowly build this podcast into something bigger. I think we're on the way. It's good. It's building at the right level of momentum, I think, but it can always be a little bit bigger, and that will also get us into a position where we can do more with it as well. As you know, I'm working on some new segments that will be coming along soon, and it would just be great if I can say no to some other projects that essentially pay the bills. Also, remember to head to giantdwarf.com.au where you can buy tickets for our faux Christmas show that you can see live at the venue or online. And the more people online, the better it is, because it just costs a fortune to provide this service. And I'd love as many of you as possible to not only check in to enjoy it, but I would like it to be a viable option for everyone for future shows in 2021, especially if we're still not really traveling, like we're probably not going to be, right? I'll be back next week, returning to our normal podcast schedule. I hope you don't mind this one coming out a little later so we could accommodate Gareth. And what a full-on 24 hours. So I thought, let's have some fun with a quote from Mike Patton. "Forgive me, but Wolf Mother, you suck." Until then.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.